Please turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. And we'll be reading verse 18 through the end of the chapter. I wasn't planning on preaching on this text last week. Well, even in the middle of the week, I wasn't planning on it. I was planning on preaching on communion. But as I was preparing, I felt I had to do something else. And I thought it would be good to reflect this morning on the two names given to Jesus here in this passage. And although it's not directly related to our reflections this Advent on the songs of Christmas, it is related in this way that both these names are frequently the point of focus in the songs we sing. We just sang, O Come, Emmanuel, and that name is rich in content, calling to mind God's faithfulness to His Old Testament prophecies about Christ and bringing before us the very person of Christ. And then the name Jesus, of course, is His personal name, which describes for us more than that His mission as well. Now let's hear and read God's Word and see how He came to bear these names. God's Word. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And this far the reading of God's holy an infallible word. Beautiful names. Wonderful names. Rich names. Names not chosen, but assigned, given. One by prophecy, one by special revelation from heaven itself. One common and everyday name, the other, unusual, uncommon. Both, a revelation. Both, manifesting the very being, purpose, meaning, understanding of this son given to Mary. Jesus, it was a common name. Lots of little Israelites in this time bore the name Jesus. That's why he became known as Jesus of Nazareth, to set him apart, to identify him, so that people would know which Jesus we are talking about. It was a common name because God's people were in peril. Their land was besieged. The Romans were in control. And so God's people had a hope that God himself, Yahweh, would come and save them. And in expression of that hope, they named their little sons Jesus. It is an expression of faith, of hope, that Yahweh, the Savior, would come once again, like he did in olden times, when he came to set his people free from the slavery in Egypt, that he would come once again to deliver them from the yoke of Rome. But here, it's not the expression of faith of Joseph and Mary. This name is assigned by heaven. The angel commands Joseph to call him Jesus, because he would not be merely one who expresses the hope that Yahweh would come to save his people. He would be Yahweh who comes to save his people. He would be one who fully indwells, manifests, lives out, gives the name its true and full reality. He is the only one who lives up to his name. Savior. It's a name that belongs to him and to him alone. And that's why after him, it's a name that dropped out of history, because he has fulfilled the reality of that name. Matthew, as he reflects on this dream that the angel had with Joseph, and especially the reminder and the emphasis that Mary has not been unfaithful, but it's the Holy Spirit who worked this miracle within her womb, immediately understands that this is a fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy. That what is taking place in Joseph and Mary's life is a display of the faithfulness of God. God, who long ago, in another time, when there was a very unfaithful king on the throne, and Israel were in peril. The armies of their neighbors, their brothers, who formed the coalition with the king of Damascus, were coming into the land of Judah to destroy and remove King Ahaz from his throne. God sent him a word. Not to lose hope or heart, not to look for help to outside powers, but to trust in the Lord, his God. But you see, Ahaz was an unbelieving king. And so even when God says to him, ask me a sign, he says, I will not tempt the Lord. It is a frame piety. It was an expression of empty shell. Because the Lord commands him, ask a sign, and he refuses. And so he has given a sign so incredible that only a strong faith can embrace it. The sign that a virgin will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel. But now it's no longer a sign. It's no longer a prophecy. Matthew says it is now reality. This Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God with us. It's an incredible thing, isn't it? Part of the celebration of this season among God's people is the astonishing nature of what God has done. God became what he eternally was not. He became man. The Creator now became a creature. The Almighty God, now helpless, powerless, infant. The Greek gods would frame humanity. In their myths, they would take on human form and walk among us, but they would never be human. They would never set aside their prerogative to be God as they walk on this earth in the myths and legends. But you see, this is not a myth or a legend. This is reality. This is God with us in our humanity, with us in reality, like us in every way, feeble, frail, except for the marring of sin. We confess this reality and its beauty in the words of the Athanasian Creed: God, of the substance of the Father, begotten before all worlds, man, of the substance of his mother, born in this world. God and man, God with us. Now there's so much that we can say about both these names. But I want you to reflect this morning on two things. Two things that we have to see as we meditate upon these two names. And this is the first. Do you understand and realize and see the enormity of your sin? He will save his people from their sin. That's why he's called Jesus. I don't want you to think about other people's sin. I want you to think about your sin. Because it's only your Savior, when you understand it is you that needs saving. And do you understand the enormity of that sin? That you yourself cannot in any way get yourself rid of that sin. You can't do anything. The very fact that He had to come from heaven to earth, that He had become man, displayed to us the reality of the depth of our sin. It takes God to deliver us. Think about it. If there was any way possible to deal with sin without Him humbling Himself and becoming like us, don't you think He would have done that? Of course He would. But in this light we see the enormity of our sin. It takes God to be our Savior. Why? The problem is not that we're finite and God is infinite. You know, there's some theologians that think that, but that would make the problem a creational problem. That the problem is creation itself, and God had to bridge the gap. That's why He had to become man. No. It's very clear. He bears the name Jesus. Because He's going to save His people from their sins. That's the problem. The problem is sin. What's the problem with sin? The problem with sin is not that it makes you feel bad. And sin does, doesn't it? Yes, there is a little pleasure in sin. We all enjoy that for a moment. You know how that is. A brief instant, but afterwards, it's just bitterness. You know that moment when you're angry and you just like to be angry and you express that anger, but afterwards there's devastation? Or that lust, that feeling, that desire, that longing, and afterwards, misery? It's always like that with sin, because sin promises us what only God can give. But you see, that's not the problem with sin. The problem is not that you feel bad. Neither is it that we mess things up. The problem with sin is it's against God. That's the problem with sin. It provokes the anger of God because God is holy and righteous. And therefore sin must be punished. Now think about it. God is infinite, we're finite. But when we sin against an infinite God, that sin becomes infinite, doesn't it? And that's why the punishment for sin is an eternal punishment. Not a temporal one. Not a fleeting one, an eternal punishment. An eternity paying for sin will not pay at all. You see, we cannot bridge the gap. We cannot save ourselves. Do you understand the enormity of your sin? The very fact that He bears the name Jesus, Emmanuel, drives home to us the enormity of our sin. It takes God to remove our sin. Do not minimize sin in your life. We all do that, don't we? We all minimize and say, it's not that bad, really. Because when I look outside, that's bad. What my neighbor is doing, that's really bad. Ooh, what I read in the news, that's horrible. But what I'm doing, that's not that bad, is it? We all do that, don't we? But we are reminded this morning, it takes God to save us from our sin. It's an enormous thing. But then secondly, do you see the love of God? Because He comes to save us from our sins. He comes. He doesn't leave us to the judgment we rightly deserve. He doesn't leave us to bear that eternal judgment upon ourselves. He doesn't say, you got yourself into this mess, you get yourself out. That's sometimes what we do, don't we? We look at our neighbor, we see the mess they made up their life, and we say, okay, you chose, you did that. And we forget that the only reason that we are spared some of the misery of this life is because of God's grace. Not because we're so wise and make wise choices. But even we need to be saved by God Himself. And the good news is, He has come. Does that melt your heart? It should. It should. Because notice, it is God with us, Jesus, Savior. He knew from the beginning what He was to do. His life will be one of suffering and burden because He's carrying the burden of our sins. And only He can do that. Because you see, it's only as God that He can make an infinite payment, an eternal payment for sin in a finite amount of time. In those hours on the cross, He finally, fully swallowed up all of God's judgment and anger against our sin. And when He was done, He said, "It is finished. It is finished." The anger and judgment of God that we rightly deserve has been fully met in me. It's done. Savior. That's who He is. And because He's God, He needs it fully, but because He's man, He can stand in your place and mine. It's all done. Do you see in Him the love of God? Not love because you're so bright and so beautiful and your sin is so small and you've done so much for Him. No! It's because you can't do it yourself. The amazing thing is, He comes in spite of who we are. And He pays it all. He does it all. Now do you see why these names are so sweet in the believer's mouth and ears? Jesus, our Emmanuel. Jesus, my Savior God. No one like Him. Rejoice and delight yourself in the wonder of who He is. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the sacrifice that turns His wrath away by paying the full price of our sin. So that you and I may be received, restored into fellowship with God. That's love. And right here at the beginning, God reveals to us what He's going to do in Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we confess that we are so familiar with Your name. We're so familiar with thinking of You, Lord Jesus, as Emmanuel, that we cease to reflect and marvel at the wonder of that revelation. And we acknowledge that even today we have just scratched the surface of what Your names mean. But we have seen and been reminded of the enormity of our sin. Help us to feel its weight so that we would be truly delivered from any attempt to save ourselves. To think that we can do anything that would please You by our own efforts. That bypass Christ. Will You allow us to see Your love, to taste Your love, to enter into the joy that it brings to know You as our Savior, our Emmanuel? Thank You for what You have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.